he had the chance to wake up and put his thumb up, and then the ref stepped in, so then it looks controversial.
Right.
But his arm did drop.
Oh, yeah.
You don't just drop, like, even if you're putting it down, it doesn't free fall like that.
Yeah, he was out. He was out.
You know what I mean?
He was out.
If you guys can't tell, we were talking about the controversial, or maybe not so controversial decision of Askren versus Lawler. Welcome back. We are Cage Against the Machine, round zero. We are going to talk about UFC 236, which is Holloway versus Poirier 2.
Poirier.
If you like your New Orleans, I am the Sweet MBA. I am joined by
the Dr. J.K. Akins,
as well as
Brain Damage.
And we are here by one of our unofficial sponsors, KES Fitness. The wonderful Kawasi Simon has allowed us to use the gym. This is where I make sense of the world once a week and try to get my body to work and sometimes learn how to throw kicks. I'm really glad that my brother's here. It made sense to do a podcast about martial arts in a martial arts gym.
Yeah.
So I thought this was cool. We're kind of relaxing right now. We're going to do this kia ora, or as Brain would call it, aloha. I just got back from the gorgeous land of New Zealand, and which I'm now actually a citizen. Which is great. So yeah,
it's right. It's very good.
Yeah.
Well done.
Strangely,
big ups to Mrs. Sweeten. Congratulations to you as well.
Yeah.
I already told him so.
Thank you. She made an honest man out of me, or an honest woman out of me. I don't know. Whatever makes me laugh. Other shout outs. Our esteemed producer Double D couldn't be here, but he's a little banged up under the weather. He had surgery, and then before that he really wanted to surprise me, so he snuck himself a ticket, jumped on a plane for 12 hours and flew to New Zealand and hung out and was there, as well as Ja.
Big shout out, Ja.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Appreciate you guys. I just cried for you. It was amazing. Just an amazing time. Shout out to a couple other things. City Kickboxing. Thank you for allowing me, my broken, crippled, non-martial arts self to be able to work out there. Thank you for every Tongan, Maori, Fijian, and Samoan for going right on me. Sometimes when they punch, you just
think like, oh, I know.
It's amazing. And it was an incredible moment. I kept running into somebody who, you know, I kept saying, this guy's pretty incredible. So is there a Adesanya making room for me? What I really appreciate about the City Kickboxing vibe is that they're very similar to what we do here in terms of family and getting behind each other. So actually, got to see Alex Volkanovski hit pads, which was scary and pretty intimidating. I kept trying to walk outside. They're like, no problem. No, that scares me. Got to breathe some oxygen in the same room as Kai Carter France. And I think what's really most intimidating is the other fighters that they have coming up through the ranks that nobody's heard of. So this is a really exciting time. That was great. Some other events, you know, since we are a global podcast, I'm always trying to explain to people. And it's funny that we're at this place. When this started, being the brothers that we are, obviously JK being from Zimbabwe by way of North Oakland.
Most indeed.
I had to see who's paying attention. same difference. Oh, it's only 3,000 by 2,000 miles. It's only the first place to find humanity. My brother Brain over here being Puerto Rican, which is a whole other ball of gumbo by way of Hawaii, and myself being sometimes Jamaican. We always talked about what does the world look like when people who look like us discover MMA? And I think they just woke up last week, or last card. I think there's something clever and infectious and amazing that is happening between the interchange of Israel Adesanya, Kamaru Usman, what's my big man's name? Sorry, I'm going to jail.
Which one?
Anyway.
Ty?
That's Paulie, but no, African.
Oh.
who knocked only
Francis Ngannou.
I mean, again, I think to Israel's quote, being saying, I'm the runt of my people, and there's a whole other crew. You've always said this, the West African talent pool is deep.
Is deep.
From everything I can see, is in Nigeria, they broadcast this. We have yet to even see how deep something like Congo, you know.
And just wait until you see some of these South Africans.
Right. And it seems like it's walking itself into the world. So we never thought in a million years, we thought this would be a 20-year thing where we look back and go, yeah, remember when we used to say that the African diaspora could do MMA? I think our moment of inflection has happened, and it's really interesting.
Yeah, you know, for me, you know, growing up, martial arts was not really a part of the culture. You know, it was soccer, it was basketball, and it was track and field, you know. And then, you know, now we have this whole new awakening, which I'm proud of all of my brothers and sisters. You're going to start seeing another explosion very soon from the female side of it.
That was something that was also very clear to me in city kickboxing, that the women talent pool has yet to even be completely scratched. There's a lot of incredible... There was women who were working harder than me, who were more technical, who had better footwork, and could crack pads and line up stuff and transitions in a way that I was like, just imagine, this is opening the door, right?
Right.
And culturally, something that, knowing this brother for a while, being Hawaiian, you know, I'd always try to understand what's up with this BJ Penn thing. He's like, you gotta understand that the islands, dude, we just fight and then we walk away. It's not deep, nobody gets shot. Yeah. So that culture, you've seen that, it's just amazing.
Coming up for us in Hawaii, it was like I didn't know that there was gyms. My pops used to train us in the garage, you know what I mean?
Right.
And like, me and my nephews and nieces, and I didn't grow up with my brothers. They were all almost 20 years old enough by the time I was born. So I grew up with my nephews and nieces, and pops used to just train us kung fu and karate in the garage, and like, get into a dispute and argument with somebody, it either is words, then it's fish, and then handshake, and then okay. You know, the next time you see that guy, you're probably like, hey, bye, how you doing? You know what I mean? Now you got respect for each other, and you started out as disrespect.
Right.
So, it's like, I didn't even realize back then, like, is this a part of my culture? Is it not?
Right, yeah.
It was something I grew up with, and then, you know, lost pops at 16, kind of lost my way on that, and went to the young and dumb route and stopped training for quite a few years, and now I got it, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Gradually getting back in it. I definitely want to know.
Well, you see that right there? You feel that? That discoloration?
I've been hearing a few.
That's where all the 110 pounds went.
Nice.
Sheet on the walls.
Evaporated.
Other interesting things, just to take a moment, is, you know, there's some synergy of this great movement that's happening in MMA. I would kind of be remiss in not mentioning that, you know, right as I was getting married, I turned on my phone and I got a bunch of texts from these two. Like, are you guys okay? I'm like, what are you talking about? And I came to find out that sadly 50 people were murdered in the mosque by a gunman who hates anything that's diverse. So I would be sort of lacking in my mission if we didn't take a moment to remember those fallen individuals. You should not think that your prayer spot is a holy place, a safe place. But I think the response of the New Zealand populace and all the Kiwis and their commitment towards love over hate and to making sure that supremacy, in particular white supremacy, has no place in their country is a huge example to set. And if you sort of understand how these New Zealand fighters look at fighting, they don't back down from anything, and I was really impressed to see that. So my hope is that we can lead, continuing with what we're doing here, somewhere between, you know, the African, the sort of Jamaican, African-American, and the Puerto Rican, we can show examples of, hey, look at how this culture of martial arts can bring everyone together.
Can I interject another game on that?
Of course.
Yes, sir.
I must also give kudos to New Zealand's Prime Minister and the way that she handled that particular situation. It's very rare that you see a politician who has a finger on the pulse of where his or her people are and measures that pulse correctly. And that is something that her response to this tragedy is something that I will never forget, because we live in a society where the pulse isn't even taken.
Yep.
So,
and I would just add, you know, much love to everybody out there, aloha, all that. But, you know, I just want to credit those couple of guys that, like screw it, man. You know, I'm going to run up and try to get to this guy before he can take anybody else out. Unfortunately, they didn't make it, but you know what I mean? Still got to give them. That's something that I would not have the courage to do. So,
close to that. You never know. Look, I got to say that about people. You never know. Look over the room.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So that matters, right?
Yeah, you'll do.
You'd be amazed what you'll do.
Yeah.
Like when you make that very quick, very quick decision about
it. Like if it's a bunch of strangers, then like if it's at a bar station, I might not.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if it's my children and my family behind me, then.
Yeah. And I think that's just a comment.
I'm going to make sure that this big body takes up some.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a couple behind me that, you know, almost like football. You ain't got to tackle them every time, but slow them down until we get to them.
Yep. Yeah. So, Irons is with you. Speaking of pulse, what are some fights in the prelims that either you guys are excited about?
Austin Salmon.
Why?
Because he's flying and he's been out for a minute, you know. So, I'm excited to see the youngster come back. I know he's got, I don't remember off the top of my head who he's fighting. Yeah. I know he's got a tough fight. It's not a gimme.
Okay.
I like his style, man. He's a little unorthodox.
Yeah. It seems like these prelims are chock full of interesting points. Anything that
they are.
Vilsen Hayes and Alexandre
Pantoja. He just keeps coming back to this. It's always Hayes for you. I've got it.
No. It's just because that this particular matchup is an intriguing one.
Yeah.
Considering what this matchup now means.
Yeah.
With Demetrius Johnson obviously moving on.
Yep.
Moving on to 1FC. By the way, he will be on your television screens on TNT. So
right.
Look out for that.
And
Eddie Alvarez. But,
yeah.
Cejudo
fighting Moraes for the 135 belt.
I think it should have been Moraes and Alderman.
No, who should have got this fight is Benavides.
Yeah.
For 35, I thought Benavides.
125.
But he's the runner up.
The fact that
Cejudo
gets to move on to 135 without defending against Benavides is my issue.
I agree with that totally.
But Benavides,
that's part of why I say Moraes and Sterling, because he just beat a Sunchow. He's, you know, a little bit.
Sterling would be the clear choice, but I mean.
But isn't that the runner-up spot? So if Moraes can't make it for the dance, then Benavides and Cejudo for 125 though. That's what Mr. White said.
Which I get, but we shouldn't even be talking about that.
Sure. A fight that I'm actually very excited about is Max Griffin. I want to see what he can do after that terrible decision in Brazil.
Ooh.
And then another young talent that's very exciting to me, Jalen Turner.
Jalen Turner.
That's the... For those who know J.K. Will, that's the exhale of disappointment.
Ooh. I mean, it's... we'll see. Ferreira is an interesting fighter. We'll see what Turner does. When you're the premier fight on the prelims, I'll bring that part up shortly. This is a very big opportunity for both of these fighters. And what do I always say? You find out really what you're going to get when the lights are the brightest. And these are about as bright as it gets.
because the whole world is going to be watching.
Yeah.
Especially because, if for no other reason, the whole world is going to be watching because of the two co-main event fights on this card. So, big opportunity for both fighters.
Yeah, Matt Fergola is no pushover either, so this is going to be a test for him.
That's great. You guys know what time it is. We're going to take a little break. I am the Sweet NBA, joined Bud.
Ray.
As well as?
J.K. Aki.
Shout out to Double D who couldn't be here. Big shout out to our sponsor for having us here, KES Fitness. Thank you, Kawasi. We'll be right back.
And we are black as hell.
And brown.
And brown. And every shade in between.
And a brown.
The original man. Again, we are talking about UFC 236. Holloway versus Poirier.
Two.
Dose. You say two in French.
Deuce. Boy, it escapes me. Wow. I blanked.
He resisted you, colonizer.
I don't know how he knew that. I was trying to actually keep that covered. I was really trying to play dumb.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, two.
So yeah, we are starting off with OSP, Oven St. Crew, versus Nikita Krylov. I don't know if you know this, but back in the day, a young Mr. Brain, a young Mr. Sweet, used to do something called graffiti. And what was the best type of paint to get?
Krylov.
Every time I see that, I see Nikita Krylov, right?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Like, wow. I feel like you want to, hey, let's go steal him from Osh. Get a fat cat. What can we say about this?
Were you guys stealing paint from Michaels?
Not Michaels, no. Osh.
Yeah.
Osh. Because they didn't have security. Home Depot did.
Oh, that's right.
Not that I did, but I heard.
Right.
That's all up self. Yeah, I'm not, Tekashi 6ix9ine, I don't know if something about me.
I mean, you know.
I know. So.
Also, so you're not going to tattoo your face?
No, at all. Okay. I'm going to stay in private school. So, this is a hard one for me to call. Oven St. Crew goes up, he goes down, he goes up, he goes down, he goes up, he goes down. But so does Krylov.
Yeah, it's crazy. And they both have a ton of well-rounded skills.
Yes.
Both have knockout power, both have tough chins. I'd say OSP has better wrestling.
But does Krylov have the Bob Fucho?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't have the one-armed... Was it a Gamora?
Gamora.
Yeah.
But he does have some triangles and he's got some pretty good toe holds or leg locks.
Well, for me, I love Oven St. Crew's athleticism.
Yeah.
But, and this is just my humble opinion, until he finds a new gym where he can learn some skills,
yes.
we will continue to see this up and down type of thing from this freakish athlete.
He said the ceiling there. He does have something else. I never thought of that.
I commend him for staying, I forgot the name of the gym, but it's a gym in Tennessee that's near his alma mater, the University of Tennessee Volunteers. Right.
It's got that brand and everything.
Yes, I understand the need to stay close to where you feel comfortable. I totally get that.
Yep.
Because he is an alma mater and because he was an SEC football player, he also needed to use Tennessee's facilities for free.
Right.
You know, which I totally get that because Tennessee has a state of the art training center. State of the art. So I totally understand the allure. But he has reached a point in which I feel like in his last 3-4 fights, I haven't seen any growth.
Right.
Yeah.
So if it stays, I think if it stays striking, Krylov will spray his face up. And if it goes to the ground, it's a cage. We know we're going to get two types of one-arm choke. That's going to win.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair. What would be your pick?
I'm going to take St. Crew very reluctantly.
By submission?
Yes.
I agree with you.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with Krylon, my submission action.
Krylon, my submission?
My submission? Wow. Okay.
Would he have his own submission? It would be like the almond cap. Moving on from this welterweight bout, we have Black House's own Alan Juban, aka I model for gyms, versus Sacramento's own Dwight Grant, also an aka product, an MMA Gold product. This is a hard call. Dwight Grant, if you may remember, missed his last fight because he didn't. He got taken off for not making weight. Alan Juban, sadly, his last fight, he had to knock out one of his training partners.
What weight class is this?
Welter.
Okay. Wow. I don't know much about Dwight Grant, which obviously, as you guys know, is a rarity in this game.
Well, we're doing Kiara style. We're just flowing.
Yeah.
It's fun. We're allowed to be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know much about Grant, which is really weird because he's one of the few fighters that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
So just based on lack of information, I'm going to take Juban by, I guess, a decision. But again, in fairness, I haven't had a chance to see Dwight Grant fight.
Okay. Bring it up.
I don't know much about Grant either, honestly. But I'm glad that you knew that he was from out here at AKA. Mm-hmm. And Juban is another one of those guys, similar to an OSP that is a very athletic, powerful dude. But he's got these explosive wins, and then he's got these disappointing losses where you thought he was going to go in there and you know, put his hand through somebody's head, and he just like freezes up like a deer in the headlights. So it's interesting. I know JK has always said these young guys need to prove it. Juban is a guy that if Dwight Grant proves it, he instantly gets some credibility.
Yep.
Whereas Juban, it's kind of like a lose-lose situation because if you beat him,
you're supposed to beat him. Yeah.
Right? And if you lose, you just lost to this youngster that nobody really...
Unless he knocks him out. If you beat him by decision, you were supposed to. If you knock him out cold, then you get some buzz again.
Yeah. So,
that being said, even though Alan Juban I picked twice in a row in my previous fantasy leagues, I'm going to go with Dwight Grant.
Okay. Yeah, I did the same thing when, I didn't play this year. I finally stepped out. I was like, you know what, I just...
Too much going on.
Yeah, so, but I got burned by him a couple times myself, so I'm going to go with Dwight Grant based on the fact that he's a Georgia Cali cat.
Yep.
I mean, I'm just taking Juban because I don't have information.
That's what I was going to do.
I like to stay informed, and as you guys have heard many times on this podcast, I watched the last 3 to 4 fights for pretty much every single fighter on the card. Do you guys realize how much time that takes? Just saying.
That's a lot of time. That's, you know what I mean?
Every single fighter, I'm not joking. I literally have people who will call me on the phone and be like, JK, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm studying, man. And then let me get at you later. If people hit me up wanting to play NBA 2K, want to get that work on NBA 2K, or want to get this work on Madden, or, you know, getting this work in some Call of Duty, but I can't do it because, you know, I got to study for the fights.
Prize.
You know?
You're the prize, you guys.
And by the way, you guys should know that I love being here because the college basketball tournament is going on right now and my Warriors are playing and I'm still here.
Nice.
Actually, I think you said Warriors won earlier.
No, the game just started like an hour ago.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I think it must have notified me for halftime.
Probably.
Speaking of time, the Warriors, move on to our next fight.
Oh, boy.
This one here.
Because this fight's not going to go next time.
Oh, boy.
One, Eric Anders versus Khalil Rountree Jr.
Speaking of SEC football players,
yes,
Eric Anders was on the national championship team at the University of Alabama.
And you may remember was, as JK informed me, the LFA champ, light heavyweight champion. He also fought one of the more impressive fights we've ever seen coming in at a 2-day notice. And fought against Thiago Silva.
Man.
And finished the fight by collapsing. Not even knocked out.
Thiago Santos, right?
Thiago Santos.
Man, about to fight John Jones.
Right, and not finishing the fight by getting knocked out or submitted, but literally
just couldn't move.
Throwing his arms and his body deciding, I'm done. And his face saying, and his mind going, but what are you talking about? We still have more rounds. At least as somebody who does martial arts, you know, it was a really inspirational moment because I think it's his body and his face summed up everything we go through, right? Okay.
It was the definition of left it all in the
case. Yeah. Literally, he was surprised himself that his body stopped. Where his face was like, no, we got 30 seconds in this round. It was really inspiring. Meanwhile, you have Khalil Roundtree Jr. suffering that terrible, painful knockout loss to Yanni Walker. And if only Khalil could use the secret technique of learning the celebration dance of Yanni Walker, he could definitely do some damage to him.
Except for the fact that Walker dislocated his shoulder, which effectively kept him out of the ability to fight John Jones. But that's neither here nor there.
Right, and that's also not an injury that heals. So it's also interesting.
But the fight before it, he knocked out Volkan Saki.
He sure did.
One of the greatest knockout artists in kickboxing.
And what did I tell y'all was going to happen in that fight? What did I tell y'all was going to happen?
He said it. He said it.
But kickboxing.
I said there is.
It's not even that.
And vice versa, right?
But still, that's a knockout artist getting knocked out.
Yeah, but also
like cold knocked out.
And I think the inspiration, what it did is it sent Roundtree to Thailand to immerse himself in Muay Thai, to work the clinch, to do some things that were outside his comfort zone. I wonder what Aaron Anders has been working on. I think, who do you think has the better grappling?
I'd say Anders, because I mean,
really?
They both come from wrestling, but you got to add in football as well? No?
I think it's a wash, really. I don't think either of them are that good.
No, they're not. They're not either.
But wasn't Anders a wrestler as well as football?
No.
No?
Just football.
Was both.
And Roundtree was like super overweight and started doing Muay Thai. So he's like the male Angela Hill.
I still say being able to tackle in football gives you a little bit of an. I mean, sometimes
tackling. As somebody who's actually done it,
tackling football is a collision sport, not a contact sport.
Right.
So it really has nothing to do with grappling whatsoever. The techniques
you got to grab them and get them to the floor.
Yeah, but the techniques are completely different. We're talking about collision. Not contact.
Right, but if I got dropped and I had football, then I'm going to try to tackle this dude and then get on top of him, drop some bolos.
Collision and contact are two different things. They're not the same.
But you said you couldn't tackle somebody in the octagon and then, like, okay, it's not wrestling, but I'm going to do what I know how to do to get you to the floor if you rock me and I still got my consciousness enough to
get a hold of you. I'm going to tell you why they're different. Because if you came to me and you tried to tackle me, I would just stiff arm you right in the face and push you to the ground. You see what I'm saying? That's collision. With wrestling, there is a technique to get somebody to the ground.
Yeah.
Those two things are not mutually exclusive.
Right.
So would I be allowed to say he has an advantage at possibly getting him to the floor with some wild street brawling type stuff? But you would be right in, no, it's not wrestling, so you can't say he has better wrestling.
Right. And I mean, with people who would try something like that, what do you do? You use head control. Or you grab the back of their neck and you push them down.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If it's some stuff that you never dealt with before, then you might not be thinking that clearly at that moment. And then, boom.
If you're a professional fighter, I certainly hope you are.
But that's my point. You've been preparing for wrestling. And now this dude's just trying to pull you to the ground any way you can. And you're like, wait, he's not wrestling me.
Well, that's what knees are for.
The great debates of our days.
Yeah.
How do you stop world hunger? How do we end terrorism? How do we fix the planet? And is wrestling the same as tackling? We'll be right back after a commercial break. I am Sweet NBA, I'm joined by
J.K. Akins.
As well as
Brain Damage.
Thank you. And we are black.
Definitely. And sort of.
Sort of, right. Most likely. Still March.
Lighter shade of brown.
Still March. Happy Women's History Month.
Yes.
If you're not
happy
aware,
happy birthday, Mom. I miss you.
Yeah.
Me too. Happy birthday, Mom. Miss you as well.
Except for my brothers. That's why I came back. I missed you guys.
Peace.
Yeah, I know that's right.
Right.
I know that's right.
I'm all about places that don't shoot black people.
Hey, 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 new wife. Don't blame you, brother. Don't blame you at all.
Speaking of new wives, so I sat through this amazing movie. And my wife was, she was my wife, yeah, she was sitting next to me. She did see it. And I looked all the way.
What movie that?
After both credits, and I was worried. She was so sitting down. Did you like it? Because I didn't understand.
Oh, that was the best thing I've ever seen. I'm so amped.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is it? She's like, it's a Black Panther for girls. I was like, no, it's cool. So if you haven't, not that Disney needs any more money, get up off your butts. You know what we do. Go out there and catch up and see that Captain Marvel.
Especially the Endgame coming up.
Whew.
It's so good. It is so good.
And the fighting in it is really cool. Especially if you study what we're talking about here. So that was in a really cool movie.
Yeah.
Immediately she was like, oh, I can't do it. I said, yes, you can. So, so excited for Endgame and that trailer, which came out the day of my wedding as well. So many
by the way, I avoid all trailers.
Oh, you haven't seen the new trailer?
No.
No, you have to watch the trailer.
I don't watch them.
Whatever.
I don't watch them.
Nope.
Yes. Nope. I like to see the movie in its entirety. I don't want no spoilers. I don't want to know what happened. Just when the movie come out, I'll be there.
Yeah, I mean.
And then you know what else?
And I will be there early.
I'll be watching the YouTube videos that dissect the trailer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Look at the nose right here. He's wearing this suit. Right, exactly.
Yep, not
that clearly means. So Kevin Feige said, yeah.
Or I call this guy and be like, what does this mean? What does that mean?
And the missus is like, why do they have to talk so fast when 90% of their audience is stumped? Like, why do you have to be like, and then you see right here, how about next? You can just slow down.
I was up in the theater with my pen like,
and of course we'll have to do, as we did last time, our groundbreaking Avengers Endgame.
Yes. Yes, we will.
Podcast.
Yes, definitely.
Because we were first, as always. So we're moving on to the co-main event of the evening.
How is this a co?
It's a co-main.
This is a main event on any pay-per-view.
Yeah, but they had to make it. They needed something to make this happen quick.
Given and the since they're both interns, they're like, you double stacked.
No, they're not interns. But, oh yeah, they are both interns. Yeah, I think it was just they had to recover it, given the unfortunate situation with Bobby Knuckles. So, this next fight is for the interim middleweight title for Cage Cousins, just tuning in, who are new to, you know, I just met three new people today who subscribed to us in the morning. Who are like, awesome. Yo, yeah, they're enough fills, and they're like, if not for you, I wouldn't know how to watch MMA, so I was really complimented. So the middleweight title, for us and many of us, has been one of the most exciting, great divisions in the sport. It has brought out
over the last 2 years, absolutely.
Yeah, it's been one of the contentious moments of who is going to be the pecking order or sell the fights. Notably, out of that middleweight division, you had Rich Franklin, then of course Anderson Silva's long run, Lyoto Machida.
Didn't come until later.
Chris Weidman, I guess I'll give him some credit. And then most recently, Robert Whittaker. So this next fight is one, Kelvin Gastelum fighting against Israel Adesanya. I am going to try to be as unbiased as possible because my friend JK tells me that as a person who sits in front of a camera, I am a media personality and I have a responsibility to objectivity, facts, and good thinking. I'm going to try as possible. I'm going to try also to say that Kelvin Gastelum picked up a belt that wasn't his and put it on his shoulder.
It was presented to him by the UFC, so he can't.
No.
Was that not a title belt from a weight division 50 pounds less than him?
No, that's the new UFC belt, according
Baltimore. We're not, that wasn't something
yeah,
about.
No,
that's the New York City Baltimore.
But I don't remember anything about they presented it to him. I remember Dana White denying that. Now, backstage, he might have, but.
How did he get it?
He could buy the replicas. I mean, how did Chael get the belt that he slapped Anderson's wife on the butt and told her to make a mistake and took it from his house, right?
Again, you don't really buy it.
Again, that's what I'm saying. In the background, I'm sure Dana was like, here, you get to take a belt home. But you're not an official champion. They didn't say you're the...
You think at 6 in the morning, 6 in the morning, Australian time, he finds out that Robert Whitaker's out of the fight. But what he decides to do, rather than call and say, well, can I fight somebody else instead and be the champion? He says, I'm going to go and get a fake belt. That's what he does with his rest 8 hours before he has to show up.
But it was that day, right?
Right, that's what I'm saying. So
they weighed in and everything.
I'm with JK. It was presented to him.
It was presented.
Fine.
But that's what I'm saying. But it was officially denied.
Sure.
Who?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
If each fighter, let's move this along. Fighter was going to win, how are they going to win? How's Kelvin Gastelum going to win?
By decision, by smothering him?
I disagree. There's a few ways that Kevin Gastelum can win this fight. One, the one thing that if anything, you should have learned by now is Kevin Gastelum is too fast for middleweights. That's just a fact. Now, could he catch Israel Adesanya with one of those quick hands? Sure. But I think the more possible way for him to beat Israel Adesanya is to get him on the ground and pound him out.
Okay.
And to also test his grappling skills. Because the one thing we know for sure is Adesanya is nowhere near the grappler that Gastelum is, and it's not even close.
Right. And we've seen that he has excellent takedown defense, but I agree. I don't think he's faced anyone near the caliber of wrestling that Kelvin has. But and Kelvin has knockout power as well, but I think if he decides to get in a firefight and strike for 25 minutes without a sign, then he's getting pieced up.
I can agree with that also. However, I would be careful because of Gastelum's quickness. If Adesanya gets too comfortable with getting into exchanges with Gastelum, he could find one of those quick left or right hands and find himself on his sleeve. So you have to be careful. The one thing that we know for sure is that Adesanya just can't deal with Gastelum on the ground. We know that.
Yeah. That's something that...
And Adesanya is the better grappler.
Yeah, and Gastelum could keep that card in his pocket for a few rounds if he wants and let Adesanya start getting careful and throwing those unorthodox kicks and then whoop, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's really... The striking is really a chess match between two really brilliant coaches.
I like that a lot.
Obviously, Kelvin Gastelum coming out of the former Shooter Box fighter and coach.
Rafael Cordero.
Right, who you may know is also the former coach to, well, still is the coach to the axe murderer, the former coach to Anderson.
Also, Fabrizio Verdun.
RDA too, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Rafael Dos Anjos.
Yeah. Emil Darouche, numerous amounts of brilliance.
He's been on a serious roll.
Yeah. The flip side of that is I don't think people have enough tape and don't understand the brilliant mind that is behind Israel, which is a man by the name of Eugene Gerryman. The reason why they don't see him because he doesn't do social media. He is a very accomplished, what I believe, Maori, Muay Thai fighter, who is very sneaky with the way that he sets up the game of combinations and counter striking. But I don't think that there's enough tape for them to fully understand. So I think what they see Israel doing is flashiness rather than really thinking the chess game through and getting somebody to commit. You brought up an interesting concept about the wrestling. I think we've seen what Gastelum can do. I don't know, in my mind, on television that we've really seen what Israel or any of that camp has been tested on the ground.
Which kind of goes to my point.
But have they been matched up? Okay, so let's take an example. And I saw a funny meme on Tumblr about this when somebody said, well, you know, Israel hasn't faced any real wrestlers, right? They're like, well, he faced Derek Brunson, and then somebody put that one face to do, like, right? Derek Brunson is no joke.
He's no joke.
Yeah,
there's no catch.
He really did not. But also, his counters work too well on him when he just turned on him. But it's a little bit harder because Kelvin is smaller. So it's interesting. I would say for me, I think if it's going to win.
And how tall is Israel? What, 6'3", 6'4"? See, that's where the problem lies. Because yeah, Kevin Gastelum is, what, 5'9"?
Yeah.
That low center of gravity, and if he gets, and we know for a fact that he will get in on Adesanya's knees very deep. And when that happens, you're going for a ride.
And the trade-off is, it also, as Kelvin shoots, it gives him a lot more, Israel a lot more leverage to launch those knees like that.
That is what I think. And again, you've also heard me say,
yeah,
sometimes when you know that you have a disadvantage with grappling, sometimes it's just better to sail out on an uppercut or a knee.
No caution to the wind.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think
high risk, high reward.
I think the uppercut is even more risky. I mean, we saw that with Woodley, because Usman, he can never land it, right? So if you're going to go broke, right? Throw the knee or throw something.
Yeah, that Usman Woodley fight was really weird because
it was just shanked.
I thought that.
I don't know if it was scared.
No, I don't think
it was. Not like scared of being in the fight, but like scared.
No,
like
it was in his head.
He felt like he was going to lose, so he was scared.
We talked about this. No, it was in that. It was the McDonald. You're right. It's the same energy. But with McDonald, he froze because it was the week of Mike Brown and he was in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that, but I also feel like, honestly, this is my opinion. I don't think. I mean, did you see the clip of Woodley's mom in Usman?
Yeah.
I don't think he could look across the ring in that person and see him as an enemy and hurt him. And we talked about a few types of fighters. I think he had trouble hurting Usman. Usman is like, I don't think it was that either.
I don't think it was that either because Woodley is an athlete.
Yes.
So I don't think it was that. I just really think that. He thought that in his mind that their wrestling was going to counteract one another.
That's it.
And then also we have to keep in mind that Usman made sure that Woodley couldn't get any of his punches because he stayed close to him.
Yeah.
To smother the punches because he knew that he couldn't shoot.
I don't think Woodley's an athlete anymore. I think that's why he went to Kobe fight. I think he wanted to fight people who made him emotional. And I think that's going to be his weakness now. It's like he has to fight people he hates.
Yeah. I knew Usman was going to smother him like that. I mean, he just has to
smother him. I'm not sure how he does that. Because Woodley is also a wrestler. And not only a wrestler, a U.S. team. Shit. I mean, we're talking U.S. wrestling level.
I love both of those fighters, but I got to say,
Usman was the coach.
Especially with the three of us here. To hear Usman get up there and give all that respect to Rashad, and it brings it all full circle from us doing this podcast and saying, hey, Rashad, what do you think about us doing a podcast about black people in MMA and Africans across the globe? And he's like, what do you mean? So to come full circle to see his hard work, even him, he brought Israel to Black Zillions. So for him to open those doors and for us to be here, I felt like that was a signal from the universe that we're doing something right. So what would be your prediction? You know who I'm rooting for.
I am going to take Gastel. I am going to take Gastel.
I'll still give you a ride home.
And it's okay. I can walk.
that's off curve.
Yeah. I'll take the ride. Adesanya has to knock Gastel out.
Yes.
Right. Does not, it's going to be a problem.
Or at least touch him up and move out of the way.
Absolutely.
He has to hit him with six shots and get out of the ring.
He needs to stay at the end of his jab.
He can't even
risk. At the end of his kick.
Yeah.
But the problem is if you throw a kick, you know what's going to happen. So, keep him at the end of the punch.
Yeah, you can't even risk the clinch. I agree.
That's exactly the way I'm looking at it. And I mean, I enjoy both of these guys a lot. I'm a big fan of them both. And I don't want to see Adesanya lose, but I just am looking at the way these guys match up, and I feel the exact same way. Adesanya, like, the deeper into the fight that it gets, the worse it's going to be all for him. But if he, he's had those fast knockouts before.
Yeah.
And Kelvin can take a punch, but he's also never faced a dynamic striker like Israel. So,
yeah, okay.
It's going to be like it's going to be either a knockout within, but a dynamic striker like that. Jacare has power, but he's not throwing all them kicks and spin moves.
That is true.
You know what I mean? Yes. Unorthodox hugs.
That is true.
Izzy said knock you out.
Okay.
Moving on, we have
the main event of the evening.
Fire! Out of the blue corner.
He comes out of the swamps of Louisiana.
Which is true.
Which is not Daniel Cormier.
He is known as the Diamond, Dustin Poirier, and fighting out of the red corner, he is the featherweight champion of the world, the man who put down the best 145-pound fighter. He is straight out of Waianae, Hawaii, Max Holloway.
I mean, that's a little theme. We got an African, we got a Kiwi, we got a Hawaiian. We're trying to keep it real. You know, the luau is behind you. You guys can't even see. We're just waving at, you know, the vegan luau. Let's see. How do we want to sum this up? I remember years ago, a young man by the name of Dustin Poirier being my first pick in our fencing. And he went up against this young Irish guy. And I remember walking out of the bar and you text me like, are you coming back in? And I'm like, I'm gonna drive home now. I'm so excited. I've always been a fan of Dustin Poirier. I've always liked his attitude, his time with people like Dean Thomas, his time with Eve Edwards, humble guy, hard worker, his redemption against Eddie Alvarez. You know, he makes it happen and he doesn't play around, and I appreciate that about him. The flip side here, though, Max Holloway. Man, the tale of two. How ironic that these two are fighting at a time when Voldemort has retired. Because both of these two have faced him and are now at the top of the pile, and it seems that Voldemort is scared of him. So Max Holloway being this perfect fusion. How do you describe, you know, Brandon and I have been having this evolving conversation ever since Infinity War, where he's trying to understand different Avengers coming in, and I try to give him the analogy of saying, take this Avenger and put him together with this one, you get a new one. Max Holloway feels like BJ Penn, the best things of BJ Penn and the best things of a Diaz brother. And then he added in something recently where he started doing this AKA style wrestling that has been incredible. His game has elevated to a whole other level. I really enjoyed watching him fight Ortega and switch off between clapping and punching the dude in the face. I mean,
he was giving him tips mid-round. Try hitting me with a combo.
He's like, come on, you got to throw a little bit. We're not going to win this way. I mean, he was coaching. Oh, and when who was he beating up before? Oh, Aldo, when he kept looking over at Rogan, talking about, this guy's tired. He's tired.
He's like, I'm going to finish him.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish him this round. I'm going to finish him this round, watch.
Or his teammates.
Blah, 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 blah. I told you.
Or his teammates, when he's like, I've got the secret recipe for hydration. Yeah, it's secret. Distilled water. He's like, don't tell him, it's not a secret. It's crazy. I really enjoy these two. I have trouble picking. I don't know how to go, but I think my guess is based on volume, based on counter striking, and based on counter wrestling, I think Max Holloway has this in the bag and becomes, if he wins, he becomes an interim light heavyweight as well as
lightweight champion.
Lightweight as well as
the featherweight champion.
So would that be considered a double champ?
Yes,
it's like a one and a
yes,
half
it
month.
Would. It would be considered a double champ.
Which means we know what the next fight is after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the one I'm not looking forward to.
Maxi versus Habib.
Yeah, because it would be the same thing as we just talked about with Israel and Kelvin.
Yeah.
It's like Max would have to keep him on the jab. He'd have to utilize his length.
Yep.
He's never faced a grappler like Habib, so
They're kind of similar related camps, which is interesting.
But that's jumping the gun.
Yeah.
First, he has to take care of business. Just because we're saying, oh, he probably beats Poirier and then moves on to a Khabib fight, we know that Max has to focus on Poirier 100%. He cannot look past this dude.
Not at all.
He is.
Oh, yeah, nor will he. Nor will
he. That was Max's first fight in the UFC, was Poirier.
Yeah.
And they went back and forth, and Poirier
came. And the very next fight, ironically, was the Irish Baltimore.
For Poirier or for?
For Max Holloway.
No, he fought. He had a 3-5 win streak, and then lost a close decision to Dennis Bermudez, and then lost.
Oh, there we go. You're right.
It occurs to me that if...
And ever since, he's been on 13-fight tear.
If there's a risk of war moment here for Poirier. If he wins, he becomes the light heavyweight interim champ. Max loses. You know what?
He's ready for that John Jones and Thiago Santos.
He's ready for his bed after a 12-hour flight.
I know that's why.
Right.
He's fighting jet lag.
I know that's why.
Soldier for coming out here.
And I ran the leg today.
I didn't think you were going to make it.
Sweet.
Because I've done that flight.
Oh, yeah. No, but you know, you have to fight it. You can't. If you get in the bed, you're done.
Yeah. Because you have to get on schedule. Yeah.
Little hint about jet lag. You have to.
You have to stay warm.
I don't care if you got on the plane at 12. If you land somewhere else at 6 a.m., you got to
stay up.
Hold
up. Yeah, you got to stay up
at the normal time. And it also helps if you can go to a raw-ass kickboxing gym and work your ass off.
Like KES Fitness.
Or City Kickboxing, EBM. So that's my advice for you long flights. Work out.
I'm glad I've been doing that long flights. Yeah. Flight to Hawaii is 5 hours, that's not long.
You got a point.
5 to 6.
Hey, did you see Moana?
I did.
Only once though.
Then it's your
duty. I wanted to watch it again.
It's your duty as a Hawaiian to come to 18 and more. Come to New Zealand. Stay.
Alright, so we got. Boy, this is going to be a rough fight. I feel like this is a very evenly matched fight. It's really strange because I feel like Poirier only has one way to win the fight, whereas Max Holloway has a myriad of ways to win the fight. Where I do, what does give me pause is I don't think that Max Holloway can knock Poirier out.
But he could batter him until...
Sure he could. But we've seen Poirier just run through that before and then finish people.
Yeah, and I disagree about Poirier only having one way to win. I think he does have enough jiu-jitsu skills to where he rocked him and then couldn't get the finish but could get on top. I mean, anything can happen. I do feel like Holloway's jiu-jitsu skills are better than these guys. And I mean, Poirier submitted him the first time. But Holloway's grown so much.
Holloway
so
has come in.
They both are completely different fighters.
Absolutely.
Than that fight.
Absolutely.
That's why it's great to run it back.
Exactly. And it's just,
and they're running it back with all
one of
the
these guys has ever been in a boring fight.
I'm really glad.
I've never watched
those corrections.
Either one of them in a fight, whether they won or lost, that was a boring fight.
There's that.
Holloway by stoppage.
Yeah, I'm taking Holloway fourth round.
Okay, then I'm gonna have to go with Poirier.
Bye.
I'm gonna take Poirier by knockout.
This is it. Cage Cousins, this is what we do. We'll see you next month. If you are interested and you're in town, we'll be down at Seawolf. You can come down to Seawolf.
Wait, we need to talk about that.
What?
We need to talk about that.
On camera or off camera? Bye.
Probably on.
Oh, okay.
Before we finish this, we definitely need to talk about this.
Okay.
Because the UFC signed an exclusive contract with ESPN, ESPN Plus.
You have to have a subscription before you can even order the pay-per-view.
Yeah, but
they're not available. The pay-per-views are no longer available on any television provider.
Right.
Not to have yet. But they said they're still doing a thing for bars, but
right, yeah, it's,
are they?
Yeah. So I'm saying that's how. Because you get the ESPN Plus as a retail. It's just upscale. So for you and I,
okay.
Here's the business matter moment. For you and I, we pay $7 a month. For a bar, they're probably gonna It's the same thing as this. You and I have a Pandora account. what
right.
that's in.
Right.
A restaurant probably has to pay $2,000.
I was given the information that it was going to be exclusively on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, it is. You can't go through Fight Pass, but you have to order
but
it.
But they'll have a deal for more.
Because the turnover, the way they convert, for example, we were down in New Zealand watching the last two fights in the pub. And just even that moment, that was the other thing that I think was really cool. All the stuff we were trying to do with getting people to do tailgating, whatever. New Zealand already does it. So they're all outside watching the stuff, screaming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The turnover from a business standpoint, the randoms.
I really hate this.
Yeah.
I just want to go on record and say that I really, really hate this exclusive contract with ESPN Plus for pay-per-view.
I do.
I really
do. I do. That's
because I think personally that it limits your market share. Think about it like this, right? You have to have separate deals with all the different providers, right? So you got Time Warner Cable, Cox, Xfinity, DirecTV.
If they're the exclusive provider, then you can get rid of another exclusive.
Still, it's like the Joe Schmo that doesn't watch all the time, then the John Jones or a Conor fight comes up, and they invite all their friends over, and then fuck, because he's not a big fan, so he doesn't know, where's the pay-per-view? Now he's on the phone with, you got to get ESPN Plus. Wait, hold on.
No, but you can get one off.
I have to pay $5 to pay $70 for a pay-per-view.
You can do a one-off through ESPN Plus.
You still have to get that subscription for $5.
Right, you can do a one-off. It'd be like, instead of being $65, you're like, ooh, for one time. That's how they convert people over.
Still.
You'll see.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. We're out of here. Shout out to Double D. Deshaun, please heal.
Get better.
Ja, we see you.
Yep.
Mrs. Sweet, what's up?
Yep. I am the Sweet MBA. I'm joined by
the Doctor, J.K. Aki.
Of course, I'm also with
Brain Damage.
Shout out to KES Fitness for hosting us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, KES.
We'll see you very soon. And as always,
cheers.